Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies, where we take a good look at everything guitar, and sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important, so we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Welcome, everybody, to All About Guitar, our premier show. It's great to have you here with us and have a really good show tonight. I want to kind of explain and define what the show is going to be. It's a little bit different than what we did with the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts. Anyway, here's what I wrote it out, so hopefully I'll say this right. As you can see, the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts has evolved into All About Guitar. I have learned a lot doing the Flow show for over the last 2 years. All About Guitar will expand on what the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts had done and explore even more areas of guitar playing. I have noticed a few things since doing the radio show for the last 2 years. First, there are a lot of amazing players out there, a generation or two or three younger than me. The guys and gals are gigging regularly, doing session work, and making a living doing what they do best and what they love to do. I want to bring these people on the show and share what they are doing and how they are doing it. People like Ricky Z, Steve Araujo, Anna Santina, and many more to mention now. They are amazing players. The show is about killer playing, and that is what these people are, killer players. Speaking of Anna Santina, the other thing I have noticed is how many women are playing guitar, and they are monster players. On the Flow Guitar Show, we did a couple of shows on women in music. I have gotten a lot of positive feedback on these shows. I will have more women on the show, upcoming shows that will blow you away with their playing. So expect to hear more from Kathy Lauer, Lisa Carbe, and a bunch of killer players coming on the show. The third thing I have seen is a lot is happening in the field of education for guitar. It seems we are in a sad time where the government has pretty much abandoned the arts, but there are some incredible innovators that are putting out curriculum that is extraordinary and making it easier to learn guitar. People like Les Wise and Jimmy Hewitt have developed some innovative ways to make learning guitar fun, accessible via the internet, and really do the job. We will be interviewing some amazing educators like Steve Trovato, Alan Hines, Ron Eshte, and Les Wise, who are renowned teachers but also active gigging musicians. When I was in school, there was a big gap from learning guitar in school and gigging. With these new breed of guitarists and teachers, we are seeing that gap disappearing. And these guys are hip to today's technologies and what you need to do to make it out there. We will explore that in more detail. I will also be exploring music education for kids, not just adults. A lot of you out there have families and children, and there are some very important things you can do to encourage your child to become a musician. We will be talking to Jessica Barron of Guitar in the Classroom. She teaches teachers how to play and teach guitars in school. What is important to realize is the process of learning music is also important as a way to teach children how to learn better. Stay tuned for this. It is vital and fascinating. I have also found that there are some areas that aren't exactly guitar-orientated but are important for the musician in today's world to know in order to get noticed and survive in today's music scene. Tonight's guest is a perfect example of this. Social media is a way to market yourself today. The principles our guest tonight uses for marketing businesses is the same for marketing you. keep an eye out for upcoming shows where I'll be interviewing a lawyer, and he was a manager for some amazing groups. Do you need a manager? What should you expect from a manager? We will explore this in a future show. We will still cover the basic food groups of guitar playing. We will be talking to the artists and the manufacturers. I can confirm that in July, we will be talking to session guitarist and recording artist Carl Verheyen, who is the guitarist for Supertramp. I also just got confirmation this week and can announce that in August, we will be talking to, in studio, Steve Vai. I have also gotten confirmation in October for renowned classical guitarist Leona Boyd, who will be talking about her new upcoming album. And we'll be talking to guitar makers, effects makers, and all sorts of gear in the coming months. I have also been asked by some of the guests that have been on previous shows to hang from time to time with me on future shows. So expect guest hosts visiting us here on the show. In fact, tonight I have a very special guest hosting with me. We will be exploring even more styles of guitar music, rock, classical, jazz, country, folk, prog rock. Expect more exploration in these styles. And I haven't forgotten the next punk show. So welcome to All About Guitar. Please like our Facebook page, Jeff Floral, All About Guitar, and follow us on Twitter at JFloAboutGuitar. The website address is up, and I'm still working on setting it up. I'm not very good at WordPress, so please be patient. All of the previous shows will be available for download on LA Talk Radio, iTunes, and the Flow Guitar site. And these are the Flow Guitar shows. There is a link to the archives on the All About Guitar LA Talk Radio page, and you can just search for Flow Guitar Enthusiasts in iTunes, just like before for the past shows. The Flow Guitar Enthusiast Facebook page will remain also, so you can peruse the pictures, posts, and videos posted. So I welcome you to the show, and I invite you to participate in our journey to explore All About Guitar. Now that I've said that, I can take a big breath and we can start with our show. Anyway, this is a perfect example of a show where we're talking about something that's not necessarily guitar per se, but is vital. And first of all, I want to welcome Max Steingart, who's called he is the father of network marketing. And he's done a lot of stuff. He's spoken on prospecting and recruiting on social media marketing, interest relationship building, internet relationship building, target marketing. And he's trained multitudes of people on how to effectively market and brand themselves. So I welcome you to the show, Max. It's a really pleasure to have you on the show.
Jeff, I'm delighted to be here. I just want to clarify one thing. I'm not the father of network marketing, because that's been around a lot longer than me. I've been called the father of social networking.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
But that's okay. And, you know, and lately I've been called the great grandfather of social networking.
And I also,
the audience is getting younger.
Also, I want to mention, as I said, this is our first show. I have a special guest host, and Jimmy Hewitt, who's another person that's, like I mentioned in my little preamble, he's developed a really interesting page called soulguitarist.com, where there's free lessons and there's contests, and another guy actively working in education, but also to an active player. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. He's going to be gigging nearby soon. So anyway, welcome both of you guys to the show.
Thank you, Joe.
And so first of all, let's talk about what I wanted to ask you is, let's just go down the line of what the main social media networks are and the pros and cons. I know of Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I was going to ask you about MySpace. Is there any other ones that are considered important?
Well, you know, there are hundreds of social networks, and the people that are on them, the social network is important to them. Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, Twitter, surprisingly enough, even Google Plus in some circles is popular. They all have different features. Truthfully, the major dominant player in the social networking world today is Facebook.
Okay.
And they're head and shoulders above everything else. MySpace kind of went through, at one point in time, MySpace was ahead of Facebook. Mm-hmm. They started before Facebook. They offered, you know, great connectivity and the ability to share information, the ability to share your work. So if you were a musician, you know, you could put your videos up there. You could put your music up there. And they had a separate instant messaging system. It required a separate download. It was almost like an application. And if you wanted to connect with people, that's what you used. Facebook, in 2009, added that live chat feature, and they made it internal. And in the next year and a half, they exploded to 500 million users, sucked the life out of MySpace. As a matter of fact, I'm really not sure of the numbers, but some big company bought MySpace, and they paid a lot of money for it. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars. And Justin Timberlake ended up picking up the ashes of MySpace a few years ago, and it's primarily now designed for, you know, for musicians and music. So again, it all depends. If you're a musician, MySpace might be a way to get your work out there. But truly, what'll really get your work out there is put it up on YouTube, and which is where people go to hear videos or watch videos, and get on Facebook, because that's where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
So, and well, it could change tomorrow.
Because I had heard about on MySpace, we had a guy on before on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, Bobby Osinski, and he did a book on internet marketing. And one of the things he said that was pretty cool about MySpace, which I'm surprised hasn't been picked up, is you can program playlists. So you can basically set up different playlists of different music that you put out there, and it's just for listening. You can block it from being downloaded. But so you can basically, like, if you want to feature yourself with, say, I wanted to do something with a bunch of country guitar songs, I could do a stream of that. I can do a stream of my rock stuff. I can do a stream. And basically, you can have these channels posted on your MySpace page of this different stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. As a musician, it's nice to be able to play different, you know, different types of styles, or set up little playlists that kind of feature you in different ways.
But that's true. But then the question is, who's going to see it?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. I don't know if they've fully we know they haven't recovered from after they lost all that, what they had lost after Facebook had come on, because it was, I don't know if it's as huge anymore.
No, it's not. It's not even close. And I've seen this happen over the years. There have been some great social networks that here today, gone tomorrow. Even America Online had an opportunity to own it, and they messed it up. So, you know, you have to go on social media. You have to go where the people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, now another thing I've heard, I've seen kind of a reaction sometimes on Facebook about everybody, you know, there is advertising, and I want you to kind of explain how that works on Facebook. And then also, too, people were saying that they've been capping access to you. Like, if you have so many viewers and you don't pay, not all of your followers can access. I don't quite understand how they can limit it that way. But can you explain that a little bit?
Sure, sure. Well, you know, actually, sometimes it helps to go back to the very beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Initially, with Facebook, it was set up for kids. If you went to Harvard or Yale or Vassar, and you could create a Facebook account. And in order to create it, you had to have, you know, every university has their own emailing system. So it was restricted specifically to kids in schools. And it became very, very popular. And then what happened was they kind of opened it up. And so then adults started to get involved with it. And so what everybody liked about Facebook was that it was easy. It was simple. Everything you wanted was on one page. You had a person's face, their name, a lot of information about them, all in one place, easy to read. And so they started catching up on MySpace, who I think started 2 or 3 years ahead of them. And what MySpace was a little confusing, because you could create it was your space. So you could move things around. And so sometimes, you know, when you're checking out other people, you know, you had to look to find things, but they had a phenomenal searching feature. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you could literally go in there, and if you wanted to connect, you know, to meet somebody, or you wanted to see who was out there, you could search this huge database of millions of people, 200 million people, 250 million people, and you could say, show me all of the people that like guitar music. Show me all the people that like horror movies. Show me all of the doctors, lawyers, chiropractors. It was terrific. And so my Facebook comes along. They start with the kids. Now they open it up to the adults. It's easier. The communication mechanisms, they were copying MySpace. There was a battle between the two of them. And then in 2009, Facebook added a chat feature. But they built it in, so there was nothing you had to download. Everybody had access to it, and they literally sucked the life out of MySpace. In a year and a half, they exploded to 500 million people. And now, what happened with this growth is that Facebook had to change. So initially, you had a Facebook profile page. Now you got all these people who are coming over to Facebook, and they're going, "Well, wait a minute, you know, I wrote a book, or you know, I've got this song, or I've got this, I'm a realtor, or I'm a broker, or I've got a business, or I've got products I want to sell," and it started to pollute the whole database. So they said, "Whoa, let's step back, let's get the sales stuff off of the profile page." And so what did they do? They gave you a business page. They gave you a fan page. They gave you a product page. They gave you a special interest page. So now we have all these Facebook pages out there. Now let's look specifically at the profile page, because this is where they've started to limit accessibility and visibility. So now they've got this database, and you've got your profile, and you're – the way you connect with people on social networks is you have friends. So your friends, your direct connections can all see what you do. Every time you make a post, every time you do things, you can limit what people see, or you could just open it up and say, "Hey, I want the world to see it." Now, as people start posting things and they start getting into the almost immediate communication factor, because people can see you post something, your friends get a notice on their telephone, you just change your picture, boom, that gives you an opportunity to talk to them. You put up your next song, you post your next video, and instantaneously all of your friends will get a notice about it. And so what happens is the more people that post, the more notices are going to go out. And so Facebook is looking to control it. Otherwise, things get jammed up. I mean, there's only so much capacity that these social networks have. During the time that they exploded from 200 million users to 500, they had things that broke down. They had things that didn't work. We're seeing elements of that taking place again. But so here's what they've done. In January, they reset everybody's settings. So if all of the information on your page were public, they reset them to where what you posted could only be seen by your friends or by the friends of your friends. Now, and they'll do that from time to time. So it always helps to check the settings on your profiles today to see how much of what I want visible on Facebook and people see. So here's what they started to do. They've got algorithms that are built into the back of your Facebook page, and it's counting what you're doing, what you're looking at, what people are doing with you. And so they started to measure it. They said, you know what, you've got 4,000 friends, but in reality you're only interacting with 200 of those 4,000 friends. Mm-hmm. Now, what do they mean by interacting? Your friends are liking or reacting or responding to something that you posted, or you're doing the same to them. The more recent the contact, the more recent the action, the more you fit into what they say your active communicators. And so you post, these are the people that are going to see it. If there's somebody on your Facebook page that you haven't connected with in a year, and if you have 4,000 friends, that's a lot of people. They're not going to see it. Now, how do you turn that around? One of two ways. Either you have to put something on your page that your friends will react to and hope that either your friends or the friends of your friends, somebody sees it. Because remember, the people that do see it, their friends see it. And so it filters down. The ripple effect of what you post is being restricted by, you know, the amount of visibility Facebook is giving to what you post. You want to counteract that, then you can actually go out and start looking at what your friends are doing. And you can start liking some of the things that they do. You can start making comments on some of the things that they do. And that has the same effect. So as you start liking and communicating with people, it moves that person into the area where there's connectivity. They'll see your posts. But yeah, the way it's working now, and you know, it depends on how many friends you have. If you've got 300 or 400 friends, your friends are going to see everything, because it's for the average user. If you have under 1,000 friends, under 500 for sure, everybody's going to see it. Because, especially if your friends don't have a lot of friends, you know, they want people to see activity. So if you're connected to people who don't have a lot of friends, even though you haven't had a lot of contact, they will still see it. I think I've covered all of the different variations. I hope that wasn't
so too how confusing. How does the Facebook advertising work?
excuse me. It works a couple of ways. And they have different forms of advertising. I mean, you could post something and then you could actually pay to what they call boost your post. Or what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means it will make your post visible to more people. Now, you have fans, and so you could boost your post to your fans. And in many cases, you know, people are in such a – it depends on, are those real fans or are they imaginary fans? A lot of people go out and they start all these great campaigns to build up the number of likes on the page, to build up the number of fans, and they're not real. If somebody has built up a list of really devoted fans, then certainly boosting the post so more people can see what you've done makes sense. On the other hand, you know, fans are fickle, fans are fleeting, and if you wanted to expand to people, you wanted people to see the post that maybe you weren't connected with, they also have another feature which will enable you to search, to go in there and say, all right, I'm going to pick the categories. I want this post to be seen by the following keywords. And it could be companies. It could be types of people. It could be groups. You could specify age ranges. You could specify countries where it would be visible. And then, of course, what you do is you pay for the number of times it's going to be seen. And every time it comes up, that's whether a person decides to click on it or take advantage of it or not, that's another story. And so if you're going to go that route and you're going to start paying, then I'm a firm believer of, you know, being able to keep track of where these things are coming from. Now, that's the boosting your posts. On the other hand, they've got advertising, which basically does the same thing. You decide which keywords, which characters, which categories, you know, which your audience would be interested in. And then what happens is, based on the activities and the clicks and the people and the places they visit, you'll notice on your Facebook page, on the right, that right column, there's always ads that are popping up. Mm-hmm. And so that's what those are. People are paying for you to see those. Obviously, they'd like you to click on them. But the bottom line is, they're paying for the image. And it can be expensive.
Okay. So what do you recommend? What do you think is the best way to maximize your Facebook potential? Or,
well, it depends on what you want to do. You know, if you're looking to put yourself out there, you know, let's say as an artist, okay, mm-hmm. and as a musician, Carlos Santana, does he have a Facebook page? Look at what he did with his. Mm-hmm. Okay. You could take any musician. You know, Anthony Robbins has a Facebook page. And so what ends up happening is you have a Facebook page, a personal page, which, you know, really is almost all anybody really needs. You know, as you start now, a Facebook personal page initially was set up to where you only could have 5,000 friends. That's still the limit, 5,000 friends. But once you hit that limit, you're done. It can't be expanded. So what they did was they added the follow feature. Mm-hmm. So now the follow feature originally, you know, when they ran out of friends on a Facebook page, they said, well, wait a minute, let's go over here and let's create this fan page, this product page, this public image page, and we'll let you have as many fans over there as you like. There's no limit. Now, here's the thing. We have to limit something. So they limited the connectivity. They limited the communication. Now they got people going over to those other pages. Your personal page with the ability for people to follow you, which means they can see what you do. Now, Facebook is going in there and they're Mickey Mousing around with, okay, they can see what you do, but how much of what you do you want them to see? So you constantly have to go in there and make sure that everything is as visible as you want it. Mm-hmm. The fan page. Now you've got unlimited access to people, but now people have to like it. So the amount of information that you can put on there is limited compared to what you can do on your personal page. So, you know, to ask me, you know, what's the best vehicle? It depends on what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on what you want to do. If you're looking to, I have a book that's coming out in September, and it's called How to Find Your Perfect Match on Any Social Network for Business or Pleasure. And you know, people are on Facebook to date. People are on Facebook to network, communicate with old friends. You know, it really depends on what you're looking to do. There are people that are go on Facebook. You know, a bulk of my teachings, or I teach professionals or aspiring entrepreneurs how to make money on Facebook, or for that matter, any social network, because it's the same. You can do anything. You could use Facebook to network. You can use Facebook to communicate with someone that you're in a personal relationship with. You know, you're traveling. You're in different parts of the country. You know, you're musicians. You're on the road. Facebook is a wonderful way to, you know, stay in touch with family, friends. You take pictures. You stick them up there. And all kinds of things. Easy to make everybody's a movie star. You can record something from a cell phone, and upload it to Facebook, and it's public. same, you can do the same thing to you know, to YouTube. So it's whatever you want it to be.
Now let me ask you, what about, now I'm going to go through a couple of the other ones. What about Twitter? What do you think about now? How is the best way to use that?
Well, you know, Twitter is it's kind of funny. When Twitter first came out, it was a sensation, because really what it was it's an application. And it's your you have the ability, you have a little account, and what you can do is you can communicate, broadcast to a specific list of people, a thought or a concept, and you were limited to 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it became, as it was becoming very, very popular, Facebook looked at it and they said, well, wait a minute, that's really a neat deal. So they added their own Twitter-like feature where you can now, you know, post things. It's basically the same thing as Twitter. And then LinkedIn took a look at that and they said, well, they're looking at what Facebook did. They added it too. So Twitter had this tremendous rise, and it's still very, very popular because it's simple to set up. Even the description of yourself, you know, is limited to 160 characters.
Mm-hmm.
So your ability to search for people you don't know is kind of limited, but it's still, you know, hey, people who have national visibility have Twitter accounts, and because it's a way for them to broadcast to the world. And of course, the thing is, there are always people watching, you know, what's happening. And I have a friend that added 300,000, got 300,000 followers in a year. And in order to do that, what he had to do was he had to reach out to 600 people on Twitter every day. And the way it works on Twitter is if somebody asks to follow you, then you're supposed to turn around and reciprocate and follow them.
Right.
And so, but again, you know, they went public a couple of years ago. They're disappointing everybody, and the primary reason they're disappointing everybody is anything that you want to do on Twitter, you can do on Facebook, you can do on LinkedIn. The people are on Facebook. The people are already on LinkedIn. And it remains to be seen. It's still a neat idea. You have to look at what you're trying to accomplish. And of course, now you could link them all together. So you post something on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter all at the same time. The question is, so what? You know, what are you trying to you know, accomplish? You know, with it. If you just want to get the word out about your music, you can do that.
Well, I used one of the things, and you can tell me if this was really effective or not with Twitter. I would tweet something and send it to some friends of mine that had some major followers. There was a group that had like about 50,000 listed followers on there, and they would retweet. You know, so like for example, the Flow Guitar shows, I would tweet that show was going to be on, and they would retweet that. And pretty much every week, I did get new followers on the Flow Guitar Twitter account and stuff like that. Is that really that effective? Or I know there's a lot of stuff where you can buy thousands of Twitter followers, and
you have to be careful with that. There are folks out there that actively sell Facebook likes. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But what happens is, they typically come from areas of the world that you don't normally have activity to. I have a friend that spent about, I guess it was $6,000 to build up a following of 160,000 likes,
mm-hmm.
and then he got them up to 250,000 likes. And what that did, of course, was it gave everybody a sense of some people would look at that and say, well, there's a lot of credibility there, you know, look at all the people that like them. And but it's all bogus. Now what happens is Facebook every once in a while comes in there and they look at the activity again behind the scenes, and if they see oh, wait a minute, you know, in this week period of time, all of a sudden you added 4,000, you had 4,000 likes. Well, what did you do to get them? We can't see any posts. We can't see any activity. And literally, they go in and they take them away. So mm-hmm. They don't like it. And if they catch it, and they've got rules, you know, rules against it. Besides, you want people to you want your likes to be genuine. You want the people right. that are following you, you know, to be genuine. But I think what you described was brilliant. Okay. That's exactly what you're supposed to do on a social network. You provide something of value, and then you go to people that have large circles of influence that like to provide value to their circles of influence,
mm-hmm.
and you become an information provider. You become very, very special to them, and that's what posting does. Okay, you post something. And people see it and they go, whoa, man, I want to be Jimmy's friend because he puts up the funniest jokes. I don't know where he gets them. Or, I have a friend that as a hobby, I mean, he's probably stand to lose a couple of pounds, but he posts two or three times a week these great photographs of food. And I mean, he's at a restaurant and they serve the meal. He takes a picture of it. I mean, you go crazy when you look at that stuff. And he's built up a whole following of people that like to share that. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do to position yourself as either the person you are today or you can kind of project. And put yourself out there as the person you hope to be, you know, in two or three years, and literally grow into that person in a short period of time. Because you're visible; everybody can see you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what you did was, I mean, it was brilliant, and as a result, you got exposure, and then people would come back and say, "Hey, I really like this radio show. I want to get on their list," and that's how social media. You know, that's the way social media has worked for years. It was like this in the old AOL days before they called it social media or mm-hmm. social networks.
Now, let me ask you about LinkedIn. Now, okay. I remember LinkedIn as basically the business Facebook, and it was a lot of people were on there searching for jobs and stuff like that. Though I've noticed recently in the last year or so, it's been more social. How effective is it, and what do you think? What's the best way to use LinkedIn?
Well, I got to tell you, personally, I love LinkedIn, and they are, they're kind of still growing. They're looking to find their identity. They've got their eye. Every time Facebook does anything, they're right there. They've got a much younger audience today. LinkedIn, of course, they give you so much use of their basic service and visibility for free. But what they're really trying to do is they're really trying to increase revenue by making more people visible with their advanced features. And, you know, LinkedIn for years has been used by headhunters and, mm-hmm. People who, as you said, were looking for jobs. But again, that's changed. The audience is getting younger on LinkedIn. They're getting more, LinkedIn used to be, it was like a resume. And you had your resume up there. It was easy to go in, and again, the same things that everybody originally liked about Facebook, they liked about LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was when I was working on my book the other day, I was thinking how crazy everything is. Here we have MySpace, all right, which initially had a crazy layout. I mean, it was your space. You could do whatever you wanted to it. And then along comes this upstart, Facebook. And what made Facebook so appealing was, number one, people weren't afraid to put their name and their picture up there. MySpace, you know, people were a little hesitant. When I was on MySpace, I wasn't Max Steingart. I was the lucky man at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't use their name. Well, here Facebook comes along, and it's clean, it's crisp, it's easy to find things. And then they added that chat feature, and all of a sudden, MySpace crumbles. And what does Facebook start doing? Facebook looks like the old MySpace. You know, now all of a sudden, you want to find out who you are. You got to push 8 or 9 buttons, you know, to get to it. And LinkedIn is going through the same thing. What was once a clean, crisp, easy to read, easy to find information, they're allowing people to add more elements, add more features. And what LinkedIn is also doing is that they're getting more social. So when your friends do something, they're putting it in your face. They're encouraging you to communicate with them. Now, LinkedIn went public a couple of years ago. And I'll tell you right now, if they ever added an internal live chat feature like they have on Facebook,
mm-hmm. They
would toast Facebook. Okay.
Well, I know a lot of people are looking at Facebook. They're mad, and they want to see somebody else replace it.
Well, you can get mad, but it's all about service, and it's all about who's there. You know, you can be on MySpace, but who's going to see it? What I love about the whole social networking scene, going all the way back to the America Online days, was if people go to take the time and effort to create a page, they've done it for a reason. It means they are what I like to call an eager socializer. In other words, they're open to meeting new people, and those people are easy to spot. And so for somebody, I was talking to an 85-year-old woman yesterday who said Facebook has totally changed her life. She lost her husband. And she's alone. But when you're on Facebook, you're never alone.
Mm-hmm.
You can communicate with your family. You can communicate with your friends. You can communicate with relatives. So it's a whole new world. And that communication doesn't just come across a laptop or a desktop. Now it's on your phone. You take it with you wherever you go. So LinkedIn, if they ever added a chat feature, let's face it, for a professional person, okay, because that's what you're going to find on LinkedIn. You're not going to find people looking for love or dates.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find parents looking for, you know, on Facebook to watch what their kids are doing. You literally lose all of those people. But maybe those people are the people that you really want to be connected to. As a musician, you would want to be on LinkedIn to let everybody know, your professional credentials, your history. And now they're letting you post things. You can put your music on there. They've added a lot of features that were on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's all a matter of what you want to do with it.
Now, let me ask you then, we're already running out of time, but I want to know, what do you consider the do's and don'ts for using these different guys, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn? Can you give us a little bit of a summation on what to do, what not to do?
Well, the most important thing on all of these social networks is first and foremost to be genuine. You're going on there for a specific purpose. And you have to, figure out or get in your own mind, what it is. And then, every social network, I equate it to a party. Okay? You're going to a party. There on Facebook, 1.4 billion people are at the party. On LinkedIn, 350 million people are at the party. And all you need to do to go to the party is create a page, get dressed. And so with whatever agenda you have in mind, you're going on there to meet people. You're going on there to connect with people. And so you really need to identify, they use the term now brand, you know, you want to be you. And of course you're going to be the same person on Facebook that you are on LinkedIn. I mean, you're the same person. Mm-hmm. And so here you're getting dressed up for the party. And now once you join the party, now again, it all depends on what you want to do. There are people that say, hey, you know what? There's so many people at this party, and I'm looking for ways to generate. I understand people are making money on here. The direct sales industry, the network marketing industry, there are people making millions of dollars selling soap, weight loss products, beauty products, all kinds of services. They're on Facebook. Some of the top earners in you know, hundreds of network marketing companies attribute their success, you know, to being on Facebook. You've got direct sellers, same thing. Mm-hmm. You got insurance people that are on there. Whatever it is that you're trying to sell, whatever service you offer that you're looking to get compensated for, you could do that on there. And again, it's all about the numbers of people. So as far as do's and don'ts, don't turn your Facebook, your profiles into commercials for what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Social networking law number one is what people see is what you get. When a person looks at your profile, you broadcast clearly why you're there, what your intentions are. And so again, if you're looking to sell something and you turn your page into that type of a situation, you're kind of limited to the people that you could literally go out and approach. I've always been a proactive individual. Hey, you tell me I'm at a party. I'm not going to wait for somebody to walk up to me. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to see who's here. Mm-hmm. And so, well, hey, there's a person over there that, I mean, I even met my wife on Match.com. Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of opportunities out there. You need to be genuine and you need to be active. Okay. In other words, if you're looking to build a following, you need to communicate with your audience. I mean, because that's what it is. Your audience can consist of your friends, your fans, your relatives, friends of people who start appreciating what you do. What you shouldn't do, don't ignore it. Because, you know, if you really want people to see what you're doing, you really want to get out there, your Facebook page, your page on any social networks gives you credibility. It gives you stature. It gives you likability. It pictures you on the best day you ever had last year. You could have gained 30 pounds. You could have lost your hair. But a person's perception of who you are and what you do and how you contribute to your art, to your craft, is all going to be based on what's on that page. So you know, be genuine. And if you can't be genuine, at least leave off the bad stuff.
Yeah. No, one of the things I've told friends of mine that I've always found as good advice is whatever you post on Facebook, it's forever. So make sure that it's something that you want out there. So, but I mean it, because I know one of the biggest things I see is, and I've seen professional people do it, they'll get pissed off about something and they'll rant, and it's like, to me, that's not the best thing to do.
And you're right. It is forever, because even if you take it off, with your luck, somebody took a picture of it, so it's not off.
Yeah. So no, that's true. Well, we're already out of time. I want everybody to know your website is www.maxsteingart.com.
Yes.
Anything else, any places to get a hold of you, check out what you're doing? When is this new book coming out?
It's coming out in September. And, you know, I'm really excited about it, because I've always the similarities of connecting with people for business circumstances or for dating. I mean, I was on Match.com off and on for 10 years and had a ball. Absolutely had, you know, some of the greatest. It was great 10 years. I've never been happier. I'm married to the love of my life. I never would have met her if it wasn't for, you know, Match.com. We've been together for 10 years. And so, yeah, that's coming out in September. If I also conduct boot camps and I do webinars on it. So, you know, just go find me at Max Steingart on Facebook. And I do live trainings where I, you know, demonstrate to people how, you know, you can, you know, whatever you're looking for. If you know who you're looking for, you know who your audience is, and you're trying to market or sell to them, I can help you with that. And as far as getting the word out there about your arts and crafts, your music, you know, by all means, record stuff and put it out there. And if people like it, they'll share it. If people don't like it, then, you know, that's another story. Either you need new friends or, you know, maybe you need to practice more. Jimmy. You need to talk to Jimmy and get more lessons.
Yes. Now, okay, so anyway, that's let us know more. I presume we'll be able to get the book on Amazon and the other major outlets.
Oh, yeah. No, it believe me, it's. I expect it to be a blockbuster. I really do.
Well, you got a person here that's going to pick it up. I'm picking it up for sure. Jimmy, information on you. Can you give us real quick?
Certainly. Well, you can catch free lessons at soulguitarist.com. That's S-O-U-L, guitarist.com. And there's also a video of the week I'm posting and video contest, but there's a free lesson site. And it's interactive as well. You can take private lessons there as well. Secondly, my band, Jimmy Hewitt and Soul Dog, which is soul blues, if you like blues with a little touch of soul to it. We will be performing July 17th at the Seabird Jazz and Blues Lounge, Roscoe's Seabird Jazz and Blues Club in Long Beach. It's on Broadway. And that show starts at 9 p.m. with the great James Gadson on drums. 500-plus gold records to his name.
He's a monster.
Unbelievable. I'm looking forward to that. It really should be a night for him. But anyways, Jimmy Hewitt and Soul Dog at Roscoe's Seabird Jazz and Blues Club in Long Beach, July 17th, Friday.
And yes, again, the soulguitarist.com. It's very cool. There's some very cool lessons in there that they're free.
Yeah.
I've got the price.
I've got it set up for beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And, I think you'll find something in there that you like.
Yes. Also, too, check out our interview with Jimmy. It is primarily about D'Angelical guitars, but we're going to have Jimmy back again to talk about Soul Guitarists in more detail in the future. So, but anyway, thanks, Jimmy, for being here. And Max, I can't thank you enough. The information you gave us was just invaluable.
Hey, listen, anything I can do to help, don't hesitate to invite me back.
Yeah, definitely we'll have you back.
Thanks,
definitely.
Max.
I mean, I have to
absorb. Hey, you're welcome, Jimmy.
I'm going to go play with my LinkedIn account now and see what I can do with it. But hang on after the show. We'll talk to you briefly after we're off the air.
Listen, let me just give everybody a quick tip. Post something on whatever social network you're on. Post something and watch what happens. Post a joke. Or post something and start having a conversation with the people that respond to your post.
Sounds like a plan.
Great.
Okay. Listen, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next week, and welcome to All About Guitar. I'm looking forward to having you join me as we explore all sorts of cool stuff like tonight. So everybody, have a good night. We'll be talking with you later.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.